Hello and welcome to the Zero to Finals podcast. My name is Tom, and in this episode, I'm going to be talking to you about rhabdomyolysis. And you can find written notes on this topic at zerotofinals.com/rhabdomyolysis or in the renal medicine section of the second edition of the Zero to Finals Medicine book. And you can find flashcards and questions to train your knowledge on this content and help you remember the information longer at members.zerotofinals.com. So let's get straight into it. Rhabdomyolysis involves skeletal muscles, or the muscles attached to the skeleton, breaking down and releasing various chemicals into the blood. Muscle cells, which are called myocytes, undergo cell death, which is called apoptosis, and this results in them releasing myoglobin, potassium, phosphate, and creatine kinase. Potassium is the most immediately dangerous breakdown product from muscle cells. Hyperkalemia, or a high potassium level in the blood, can cause cardiac arrhythmias and cardiac arrest. These breakdown products can cause acute kidney injury with an acute onset of reduced kidney function. Myoglobin, in particular, is toxic to the kidneys in high concentrations. Impaired renal function or kidney function results in further accumulation of these substances in the blood. Other complications of rhabdomyolysis include compartment syndrome and disseminated intravascular coagulation. Let's go through the causes. Anything that causes significant damage to muscle cells can cause rhabdomyolysis. For example, prolonged immobility, particularly in frail patients who fall and spend a long time on the floor before they're found, extremely vigorous exercise beyond the person's fitness level, for example, endurance events or CrossFit competitions, crush injuries where the muscles are crushed, seizures, and rarely statins. Let's talk about the signs and symptoms. The presenting features of rhabdomyolysis can include muscle pain, muscle weakness, muscle swelling, reduced urine output or oliguria, red-brown discoloration to the urine caused by myoglobinuria or myoglobin in the urine, fatigue, nausea and vomiting, and confusion, particularly in frail patients. Let's talk about the investigations. Creatine kinase, or CK, is the crucial diagnostic test for rhabdomyolysis. Creatine kinase is normally less than about 300 international units per liter in the blood. In rhabdomyolysis, it can be 1,000 or even 100,000 international units per liter. It typically rises in the first 12 hours after the muscle damage, remains elevated for 1 to 3 days, and then gradually falls. The higher the creatine kinase level, the greater the risk of kidney injury. Myoglobinuria refers to myoglobin in the urine, which gives the urine a red-brown color. A urine dipstick test will be positive for blood. Urea and electrolytes, or U's and E's, on the blood test are required to diagnose acute kidney injury and hyperkalemia, or raised potassium. ECGs are used to assess and monitor the heart's response to hyperkalemia, or raised potassium. Finally, let's talk about management. Intravenous fluids are the mainstay of treatment for rhabdomyolysis, and these are used to correct hypovolemia, or reduced volume of fluid in the blood, and encourage filtration of the breakdown products in the kidneys. You can think of the purpose of intravenous fluids as to flush out all the breakdown products in rhabdomyolysis. Treatment of complications, particularly hyperkalemia, is also essential. Additional options that are debatable and have associated risks include using intravenous sodium bicarbonate to increase the urinary pH and reduce the toxic effects of myoglobinuria, and intravenous mannitol to increase urine output and reduce edema. So thanks for listening to this episode on hemolytic uremic syndrome. As always, a big thank you to Harry Watchman for perfectly editing the podcast. Head over to members.zerotofinals.com for questions on the topics covered in renal medicine. And I hope you join us for the next episode where we'll talk about hyperkalemia.